2. Jeannie Anderson woke at 4 that morning with her usual wee hours full bladder. Ordinarily, she would have used their bathroom, but Ralph had been sleeping badly ever since Terry Maitland had been shot, and tonight he had been particularly restless. She got out of bed and made her way to the bathroom at the end of the hall, the one past the door to Derek's room. She considered flushing after relieving herself and decided even that might wake him. It could wait until morning. 2 more hours, Lord, she thought as she left the bathroom. 2 more hours of good sleep, that's all I wa-. She stopped halfway down the hall. The downstairs had been dark when she left the bedroom, hadn't it? She had been more asleep than awake, but surely she would have noticed a light on. Are you sure of that? No, not completely, but there certainly was a light on down there now. White light, muted, the one over the stove. She went to the stairs and stood at the top, looking down at that light, brow wrinkled, thinking profoundly. Had the burglar alarm been set before they went to bed? Yes. Arming it before bed was a house rule. She said it and Ralph had double-checked it before they went up. One or the other of them always set the alarm, but the double-checks, like Ralph's poor sleeping, had only begun since the death of Terry Maitland. She considered waking Ralph and decided against it. He needed his sleep. She considered going back to get his service revolver in the box on the high shelf in the closet. But the closet door squeaked, and that would surely wake him, and wasn't that pretty paranoid? The light probably had been on when she went to the bathroom, and she just hadn't noticed. Or maybe it had gone on by itself, a malfunction. She descended the steps quietly, moving to the left on the third step and to the right on the ninth to avoid the creaks, not even thinking about it. She walked to the kitchen door and peeked around the frame, feeling both stupid and not stupid at all. She sighed, blowing back her bangs. The kitchen was empty. She started across the room to turn off the stove light, then stopped. There were supposed to be 4 chairs at the kitchen table, 3 for the family, and the one they called the guest chair. But now there were only 3. "Don't move," someone said. "If you move, I'll kill you. If you scream, I'll kill you." She stopped, pulse hammering, the hair on the back of her neck lifting. If she hadn't done her business before coming down, urine would be running down her legs and puddling on the floor. The man, the intruder, was sitting on the guest chair in their living room, just far enough back from the archway that she could only see him from the knees down. He was wearing faded jeans and moccasins with no socks. His ankles were riddled with red blotches that might have been psoriasis. His upper body was just a vague silhouette. All she could tell was that his shoulders were broad and a little slumped, not as if he was tired, but as if they were so crammed with workout muscle that he couldn't square them. It was funny all you could see at a moment like this. Terror had frozen her brain's usual sorting ability, and everything flowed in without prejudice. This was the man who had killed Frank Peterson, the man who bit into him like a wild animal and raped him with a tree branch. That man was in her house, and here she stood in her shorty pajamas with her nipples no doubt sticking out like headlights. "Listen to me," he said. "Are you listening?" "Yes," Jeannie whispered, but she had begun to sway on the edge of a faint, and she was afraid she might pass out before he could say what he'd come to say. If that happened, he would kill her. After that, he might leave or he might go upstairs to kill Ralph. He'd do it before Ralph's mind cleared enough to know what was going on, and leave Derek to come home from camp an orphan. "No, no, no," What do you want? Tell your husband it's done here in Flint City. Tell him he has to stop. Tell him that if he does that, things go back to normal. Tell him if he doesn't, I'll kill him. I'll kill them all. His hand emerged from the shadows of the living room and into the dim light cast by the single bar fluorescent. It was a big hand. He closed it into a fist. What does it say on my fingers? Read it to me. She stared at the faded blue letters. She tried to speak and couldn't. Her tongue was nothing but a lump clinging to the roof of her mouth. He leaned forward. She saw eyes under a broad shelf of forehead. Black hair, short enough to bristle. Black eyes, not just on her, but in her, searching her heart and mind. It says, must, he told her. You see that, don't you?
Yeah.
And what you must do is tell him to stop.
Red lips moving inside a black goatee.
Tell him if he or any of them tries to find me, I'll kill them and leave their guts in the desert for the buzzard. Do you understand me?
Yes, she tried to tell him, but her tongue would move and her knees were unlocking, and she put her arms out to break her fall, and she didn't know if she succeeded in that or not, because she was gone into darkness before she hit the floor.